You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, August 13th, and I'm joined today by Catherine Lamfer, who is in for John Hockenberry. And we've been talking, Catherine, about songs that Barack Obama and John McCain like as a result of something that came out in Blender magazine. So, of course, that's meant we've asked you about a presidential playlist.
My name is Reggie from Atlanta. For Barack Obama, I think A Brand New Day.
And that's a song by Sting. What's your song for John McCain or Barack Obama? Call us, and or maybe even call us and sing it to us at 877-8.
Oh, no.
My Take. Catherine?
We're asking people to sing to us?
Why not?
Oh, all right, all right. Hey, now you've been following Michael Phelps. How can you help it, right?
Sure.
With all the coverage we have going on, he's set the gold standard. Let's see. Just this morning, he won the 200-meter butterfly. He was part of the 800-meter freestyle relay team. He was. That's five golds, five events, three to go. I can barely keep track of all this. 11 career gold medals. It's the most of any Olympic athlete. It's amazing. And you cannot escape his face, his achievements, the sound of him in the water. Unless, of course, you're in China. We're going to go now to Beijing. Jerry Longman from the New York Times has been noticing a strange sort of silence over there. Hey, Jerry, thanks for joining us again.
Sure, thank you.
Now, tell me, what kind of media coverage in China is Michael Phelps getting?
It's a kind of muffled coverage. For instance, he set a world record on Tuesday, and in Wednesday's leading sports daily, he made page 32 of the top sports daily newspaper. He was on page 30 of another paper, and in one of the leading state-run newspapers that basically only the intellectuals read, they didn't make a mention of him. Let's be fair,
Jerry. They've got a big event. They got a lot going on. There was the gymnastics team.
Now, clearly, I mean, you know, predictably, the Chinese media would focus on many of the Chinese athletes. But swimming here is not a very popular sport. The Chinese women have faded after being involved in a series of doping scandals in the 90s. And Sunday was the first time a Chinese man ever won a swimming medal. So it's clearly not a big sport. Also, the NBA has made huge inroads here. So Kobe Bryant, LeBron James are much more popular athletes. You know, the Olympics are kind of an engaging novelty every 4 years, but the NBA is always here, and those are the more famous athletes. But there's another issue that could be at play here.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Brownell, an American Fulbright scholar from St. Louis who is studying here at Beijing Sport University, said that one of her colleagues had posted an innocuous web posting at the end of last year or early this year, just saying, you know, Michael Phelps is looking to win 8 gold medals to break Mark Spitz's record in that. The ultra-nationalist response was so vehement, they ended up having to take the posting down. And that Susan Brownell wonders whether there's some sort of editorial decision being made to, you know, this is a great moment for China. China's doing well, and let's not. And they're sensitive to the idea of this nationalistic backlash. So she thinks maybe an editorial decision has been made to downplay Phelps for fear that this ultra-nationalist response would look very ugly, you know, while China is hosting the games.
Wow, it's so funny to think that they think the accomplishments of one person could overshadow an entire country.
Well, some people are sensitive, equating, you know, by saying that you're saying that the United States is better than China, and so they're in a way that probably, you know, wouldn't happen in the United States. So that's you know, it's hard to know whether that's accurate or not, but at least that's one theory from an American professor living here.
I also couldn't help but think that when you compare, say, badminton and how it's covered in China compared to how it's covered in this country, perhaps we're doing the same thing.
Right. You know, to be honest, I just lost your train of thought. One of my editors just screamed at me. Just please say again, you know, sorry, this is live radio, but, you know, we're right on deadline here, 24 hours a day.
I was going to say, and I know that you are still working on this story even as we speak, and it hasn't been filed yet. So we appreciate your time here. What I was going to say, what I said was that when you could also look at this from a different angle, which is that, as I recall, badminton is a huge sport in China. They know our American badminton players by name, whereas I could not name one of our badminton players.
No, right. And I mean, this is sort of the equivalent of, a Chinese sort of judoist winning 8 gold medals in the Olympics in Atlanta. We wouldn't pay that much attention to it, obviously. So it's fair to say, you would expect the Chinese to be paying much more attention to other athletes. But it is kind of funny, given the saturation coverage in the U.S., how different it is here.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Phelps said he got a text message right before his race this morning from a high school buddy who said, "Dude, do you know how many times a day I have to look at your ugly face?" And so Phelps, I don't think he's too broken up about it.
I was going to say, it isn't like the poor boy's being ignored. All right, Jerry, I'm very sensitive to people getting yelled at by their editors, so I'm going to release you. But you come back and talk to us again, all right?
Surely will. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. That's Jerry Longman. He is a sports reporter for the New York Times. He's there in Beijing getting yelled at by his editors.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.